We all have our hopes and our dreams of what our lives will be. We plan our families. We plan our finances. We plan our futures. And then God breaks into the plan. A child is born. A loved one dies. The market crashes. A job is lost. And suddenly your life is not what you thought, hoped, or planned it would be.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think all of us can identify with that. Our life is not what we hoped or thought or planned it would be.
Yeah. And when disappointments come, we go one of two ways. We either turn against God and we become bitter and antagonistic, or we're softened by it and draw closer to him. And the fascinating thing, Steve, about the story of Jonah is that his first reaction is actually resistance to God.
Right.
If you're not going to give me what the ministry that I want, I'm out of here, I'm on a ship and I'm going away and I'm not going to do what God is calling me to do. So there's antagonism. The great thing is that God doesn't let him go. And it's the most marvelous story of a turnaround in a person's life. And eventually he comes to a place of saying, you know, salvation comes from the Lord.
Yeah. And for many of us, if life is not going the way that we thought it would be, rather than doing what Jonah did, you may want to say, well, what should Jonah have done right away? And that's where we're going to get kind of practical with today's message as we look at how we actually cultivate a God-centered life. If you can, hope you'll join us in the first three verses of the book of Jonah as we continue the message, resist God's call to something new. Here's Pastor Colin.
The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its great wickedness has come up before me. Now, it really is very hard for us to grasp how shocking this must have been for Jonah. See, in Jonah's lifetime, there was one world superpower that was the terror of all the nations around. That one world superpower was Assyria, the Assyrians. And they were known for their brutality. In fact, it's a matter of history that you can research for yourself, though I do not recommend that you do it, especially if you're squeamish. They had refined the art of torture in extraordinary ways. Matter of history, the Assyrians. They were the terror of the time, and nations around Assyria lived in fear that the might of Assyria would occupy them or devastate them. And of course, that is what ultimately happened in Israel when the 10 tribes were evicted. That happens later in the second book of Kings. But that was after Jonah's lifetime, a generation or so later. Nineveh was one of the great Assyrian cities. In fact, if you turn over just a few pages, get some yellow in the book of Nahum here. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice how he describes Nineveh. This is a woe to Nineveh. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 1. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, and never without victims. Now, can you imagine you're planning your vacation and you open your sunny vacation brochure and it says, come to Nineveh, you know, we have flights every day for your convenience. Come and visit us in the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, and never without victims. I don't think you're going to go there. And Jonah didn't want to go there either. Can you imagine the kind of struggle that this man is thrown into as God's word comes to him? This man who's highly esteemed, giving wonderfully positive prophecies to the people of God that come true and expand the borders of God. He's settled and happy in what he's doing in dear old Gath Hepher, lovely country town. And suddenly, God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And the music stops in Jonah's life. Lord, I'm really happy in the ministry you've given me here, and it was you that called me to this ministry. Yes, I know, but I want you to go somewhere else. You want me to leave the ministry that I love? That's right. Where do you want me to go? Nineveh. Nineveh? That is in Assyria. There are terrorists and torturers there. What do you want me to say? You don't want me to tell them that their borders will be extended, do you? No, I want you to preach against that city. That's what they'll do to me if I preach against that city. Their wickedness has come up before me, God says. I'm not surprised, Lord. Everyone knows their wickedness. I'm glad you do. Why don't you judge them for it? Because if you judge them for it and take away the power from Assyria, all the nations around will be breathing a huge sigh of relief. They're our nightmare. Put yourself in Jonah's shoes. Successful ministry among God's people, known for prophesying good things like extending the borders of Israel. Good life, good work, good place. And now the word of the Lord disturbs this man's comfortable life. See, our culture says, live your dream. But our God disturbs our dreams. We all have our hopes and our dreams of what our lives will be. We plan our families. We plan our finances. We plan our futures. And then God breaks into the plan. A child is born. A loved one dies. The market crashes. A job is lost. And suddenly your life is not what you thought, hoped, or planned it would be. Now, when God stepped into Jonah's plan, Jonah's heart was revealed. The self-centeredness that was under the surface of his very successful ministry was exposed. And it was exposed when God called him to leave something old and start something new. Notice what Jonah did in chapter 1 and verse 3. He ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port, and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember that Jonah was a prophet. He knew that God is present everywhere. His mind would have been filled with scriptures already written at that time, which would have included the Psalms written by David, like Psalm 139, where David writes these words, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast." Now, Jonah would have known that probably from memory. Jonah knows that he cannot escape God's presence. What he's trying to get away from here is God's calling. When he gets in the boat, he is resigning the work that God has given him to do. He's saying, in effect, there are other things to do besides being a missionary. There are other things to do besides giving the word of the Lord. I can go to another place and I can worship the Lord in Tarshish and I can do many good things that will help many, many people. He knows he can't escape the presence of God. What he's running from is the calling of God. And so he avoids a God-centered life. He's a believer. He's just not ready to do what God's calling him to do. See, he had planned where he wanted to live, the work he wanted to do, the life he wanted to enjoy, and when God disturbed that plan, he says, I'm off. I quit. If your plan becomes more important than God's plan, it will stop you from living a God-centered life. What if God wants you in another place? Honestly, what if God wants you to do another work? What if God has a whole new chapter of your life that is going to be strategic for the advance of the gospel in a very difficult place?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Resist God's Call. It's part of our series, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life, where we're taking a look at the life of Jonah. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, you can come and listen online Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Well, let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now, with this strange title, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life, I'm going to keep turning that on its head, because none of us who knows and loves the Lord wants to be like Jonah. Jonah wrote the book because he's saying, don't go down the path I did. So I want to ask the question, learning from Jonah's experience, how do I cultivate a God-centered life? How can I do that? And I want to give three pointers here that will show us the path. Here's the first. If you want to develop a God-centered life, you want to be different from Jonah, recognize that whatever you are doing now is only for a time. See, Jonah had held so tightly to the ministry he loved in Gath Hepher that when God said, I've got something else, his inner life unraveled. The world wants you to believe that everything is stable, everything is secure, and everything is permanent, but it is not so. The home where you live is yours for a time. The work that you do is yours for a time. The people you love are yours for a time. One day your home, the home that you love, will be lived in by others. One day your work will be continued by others. One day your money will belong to others. You cannot take it with you. James says, what is your life? Here's what it's like, he says. You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then it's gone. That's your life. David says in the Psalms, teach us, O God, to number our days, to number our days, to know how short they are, in order that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, hold lightly to whatever God has trusted into your hands right now. Hold lightly to whatever you are doing right now, because it will not be forever. And if you can do that, you'll be in a good position if God calls you to something new. Second, you want to cultivate a God-centered life, keep your dreams on the altar of God. Boy, this is so hard to do. And I'm not saying here even place them on the altar of God. I'm saying keep them. Keep your dreams always on the altar of God. Now, I have hopes and dreams for my own life, for our church. We all have hopes and dreams. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But we have no rights. There are no certainties. And God is free at any time to disturb your dream, my dream, our dream, and to give us a completely new and different calling. So keep your dreams on the altar of God. None of us knows the sovereign plan of God. But because God is always at work, I think it is reasonable for us to assume that while God has planned for all of us to be here today, his plan will have many of us in a different place a year from today. Some of us will be with Christ a year from today. Some of us may be worshiping and serving in another place a year from today. A year from today, God may have you in another part of the world doing something that right now you cannot even imagine yourself doing. It hasn't even entered your mind, but God will call you to it this year. And if God will call you to something new, it will be a defining moment for you, as it was for Jonah. Revealed what was going on in his life. So I think that we need to be praying like this. Lord, help me to keep all my dreams on your altar. Don't let me be like Jonah. Don't let me get so comfortable in my home, in my church, with my friends, in my ministry. Don't let me hold that so tightly that I would be unwilling to do something completely different for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the lost, and for the sake of the gospel. Recognize that whatever you are doing is only for a time. And keep your dreams on the altar of God, whatever they are. And here's a third pointer from Jonah's experience. Practice making yourself available to God. Now, honestly, the more comfortable you are in your life, the happier you are, the more difficult this is to do. When you are happy, when you love what you do, when everything seems to be going wonderfully well, when God is obviously blessing and his hand is upon you, it is really hard when you're happy. It is really hard to keep your heart in a place where you could honestly say to the Lord, if there's something else that you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Have you ever honestly asked if God wants you on the mission field? Have you ever asked if God wants you on the mission field? Ever? Have you explored whether there is some way that your gifts could be used in cross-cultural ministry in this great city or somewhere else in the world? When you, younger folks, when you're thinking about your career, a little later on, for those who have children, when your children are at school and you have time perhaps free, some parents have time during the day to devote to something, and you make decisions about what you will devote your time during the day at two while your children are at school. And then later on, when you're thinking about retirement, have you come before the Lord and asked him how you can be most useful to him with that time? Or is it just all about you, these decisions about career and what you do while the kids are at school and what you will do when you retire from the work you are now doing? See, practice making yourself available to God. That is proactively coming before him and saying, as best I'm able, I want to be open to anything you will call me to do, and therefore explore what it is that he might be able to do with the kinds of gifts and opportunities that have been trusted into your hand. Jonah's saying, I spent much of my life, even as an esteemed prophet among God's people, avoiding a God-centered life. And looking back as an older man, he's writing this book under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he's saying, don't go there. Remember, whatever God has given to you now, and however much you love what God's given to you now, it's only for a time. Place that dream on the altar of God and practice making yourself available to God, and do that. Do that on a regular basis. Now, as I've tried to ponder this story and the place that it has in the Bible, it's come home to me with great force that there is an extraordinary contrast between Jonah and Jesus. See, think about Jonah. He lives in a good place, he's doing a good work, and he's enjoying a good life. And God says to him, Jonah, I want you to go to another place, I want you to do another work, I want you to live another life, for the sake of people who are facing judgment. And Jonah heard the call of God and he said, no. Now think about the experience of the Son of God. I'm thinking before the incarnation, before he comes into the world taking our flesh. Think about the place where he was, surrounded by the joy and the life of heaven. Think of the work he did, running the universe by the word of his power. Think of the life he enjoyed, adored by angels with the spheres of the universe at his feet. And the Father says to the Son, I want you to go to another place where you will be utterly rejected. I want you to live another life that will lead to torture and crucifixion and death. And I want you to do this work to reach people I love and you love, Son, who are under the imminent judgment of God. And Jesus said, yes. Now, that's caused me to frame this prayer that I hope you will make yours and ours during this series. It's a very simple prayer. Lord, make me less like Jonah and more like Jesus. I need to pray that because I see so much of Jonah in myself. Lord, make me less like Jonah and more like Jesus.
What a prayer for all of us to be praying. Lord, make me less like Jonah and more like Jesus. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and the first message in a series called Jonah, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. In this series, we've been looking at the unraveling of a godly man's inner life and the God who wouldn't let him go. If you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your financial generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching available each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of Martin Lloyd-Jones' book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cures. And Colin, what kind of help can we expect from this book?
Well, I can only speak from my own experience, which is that I have been greatly helped and encouraged and strengthened by this book on many occasions. That's why it has been for many years for me a kind of go-to book, particularly in times of discouragement. And I remember one time in particular where I just felt really tired in what I was doing. I'd lost the sense of motivation. I'd lost the sense of joy. I was carrying on out of a sense of duty. And Lloyd-Jones has a chapter in this book on being weary in well-doing. Paul spoke about times when Christians can just get weary of doing the good things that God has called us to do. And I thought, well, you know, that'll be helpful to me. This will be an encouragement and something that'll comfort me a little. And boy, what Lloyd-Jones said in that chapter really hit me between the eyes. Because he said, you know, if you are merely serving the Lord out of a sense of duty, if you've lost the sense of the great privilege and joy it is to be a servant of the Lord, you are spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. And I thought, that's me. I'm operating out of a sense of duty, and that's the last place in the world that I want to be. And you know what? There was something that lifted through that realization, and there was a help, and there was a relief, and a new peace, and a new energy that came to me. God used it. But that's what I've found in my life, Steve, that God has used Lloyd-Jones' book on multiple occasions. That's why I'm so glad we're able to commend it to others, because I think others will have the same experience that the Lord meets with you through the application of Scripture to particular circumstances in which we find ourselves in difficulty.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading this book myself, and maybe as you're listening, you're thinking, I can't wait to get a copy of this book. We'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift of any amount, and we'll send you a copy of Spiritual Depression by Martin Lloyd-Jones. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, that's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.